All right, guys. Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Welcome back. We'll give you a second. All right.
Good.
Yeah.
Yay.
So welcome back.
How are you, Allison?
I'm good. We're recording this kind of early because I'm in Spain right now, so... Sorry, I'll have to tell you how it is when I come back. I'll already be back by the time this is released, but I wouldn't be here to record it. So, Spain was great, and I'm gonna just put this in the universe because what I want to happen. The weather was beautiful. I ate a lot of tapas, and everything I packed was completely weather appropriate. And I drank a lot of wine, and we found great places to eat for very cheap, and our hotels were beautiful, and so were our Airbnbs. So I'm sure you're all very jealous, but that's how my trip to Spain was. Anyway, Jane, how are you in the future? How are you project? How are you in the future?
Project?
Yeah, like...
What day is this coming out?
This is coming out... Let me look. Not this Sunday, so not the 15th, but the 22nd.
Okay, I'm having a great Friendsmas. We're having a secret Santa.
Mm.
Yes, our friend Jared is back.
Yes.
Let's see. And I don't have any schoolwork to do, so...
Yay! It's Christmas. It's it's 3 days before Christmas. So Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
So the movie we're doing today, we did Die Hard last week. This week we're doing Home Alone.
Home Alone.
So this movie came out like what, 1990 or something?
1990, I believe.
1990. It stars Macaulay Culkin.
Catherine O'Hara.
Catherine O'Hara, I love her. Joe Pesci's in it. Let's see who else. Other famous people. This is a pretty star-studded cast.
John Candy's in it.
Yeah, Daniel Stern's in it. Honestly, good movie. I like it.
I like it. It's a good movie. And Macaulay Culkin is a star.
I know. I never get tired of watching this movie, honestly. Like, not really.
I could watch it any time, really.
Yeah, it's like, I've already watched this once this Christmas season at someone's house. And then I was like, I want to watch this again. And from what I remember, I haven't seen Home Alone 2 in a long time. That's the one where he's lost in New York. But if I remember, yes. It's good too. Maybe not as good as this one. That one I haven't seen in a long time. But, this one's definitely really good. I mean, is it the most, like, does it stand up the most logically? No. But who cares?
It's fun, okay?
It's fun. So, I, again, as per usual, just watched this movie and wrote down a constant stream of my thoughts. So, they go in order of the movie so we can begin. We can begin at the beginning. So... We open. Rich people. Everyone's in this house. Chaos.
Very, very rich.
Cop. There's a cop. He's trying to find someone, but he can't find anyone because there's too many people. It's chaos. Pizza guy shows up. Pizza guy's really hot. He needs $122 or something like that. And nobody will give it to him. Eventually,
because they're all children. Because it's chaos.
There's so many kids. So we're all running around. Kevin McAllister, played by the charming Macaulay Culkin, is trying to... He's bored, and he's trying to pack a suitcase. Nobody will help him, and he doesn't know how to pack a suitcase.
He doesn't know how to pack a suitcase.
He's never done it in his entire life, okay? He's not stupid. He's just never done it in his entire life. And he's going to have to sleep with Fuller, who if he even has a drink is going to wet the bed. So this is not fair. We can see from the very beginning, Kevin McAllister is a mistreated little boy.
He is.
Buzz is a jerk, all right? So Buzz is weird, and he's got really creepy eyebrows, in my opinion.
And he has a pet tarantula.
He does, but I don't hate him for that, you know? So yeah, I understand. Anyway.
I get it.
The dad talks to the cop who basically, like, says, oh, we're just going around the house and making sure the houses are all secured for Christmas time. And do you guys have any, like, protections? And he says, yeah, we do. Like, we have timers and locks. And they're like, okay, cool. And then later, he's trying to find out when they're going on a trip and when they're leaving. But again, it's chaos. So he's basically just standing there. And then the pizza comes. Buzz eats the last slice of cheese pizza, which he knows is the only
Kevin's
pizza
favorite.
Kevin will eat. He doesn't like sausage and mushrooms and all that crap. So he gets mad. Kevin gets mad. Buzz! So Kevin gets mad. Basically, like, takes Buzz the fuck out. But in the process, spills a lot of milk all over the passports. So now everyone's freaking out, and in what is one of the best choreographed scenes of this entire movie, the chaos just happens. The little Fuller gets squished behind a chair. There's milk. There's passports. There's stuff's falling. It's amazing. And then one of my favorite lines comes up where Uncle Fred says, look what you did, you little jerk.
It's so good.
It's so funny when it happens. I love that line. And so then Catherine O'Hara takes Kevin upstairs, but while she's passing, she passes the cop, tells him they're leaving for Paris tomorrow, and he's like, all right, cool, you're in good hands, bye.
And then you start to suspect, I don't think this guy might be a cop at all.
He's got a gold tooth, too, and they give it a little shine.
Gold tooth, and it gleams. I'm starting to think he might not be a cop.
I'm kind of thinking, yeah. You're like, suspicious. So then they go upstairs, and she's like, okay, you don't have to sleep with Fuller because he wets the bed, but you're in trouble, you're grounded, whatever. And he's like, I wish I didn't have a family. And she's like, you shouldn't say that. You'd be sad if you didn't have a family. And he's like, no, I wouldn't. I wish I didn't have a family. She's like, all right, good night. So Kevin O'Hara is a queen. So in the night, there's a storm and the power goes out and the phone lines go down and they get the power back on. But because of that, all of their alarms reset. So they wake up late.
Mm-hmm.
And they all are rushing around to make sure they make their flight. They're leaving the house with only 45 minutes before their flight. Something that, in this day and age, you might as well just say that flight is fucking gone. But this is a pre-9/11 world.
Yeah, you could do that at that point in time. You could make your plane in that short of time.
In 45 minutes, which is just like, that's not going to happen now.
You have to be there 2 hours early, dude.
Literally, you could show up to the airport 45 minutes before your flight and still not make it. They're leaving the house 45 minutes before their flight. So basically, they do a count, but they accidentally miscount. And they think they have everyone, and they leave, and they go to the airport. And of course, they're rushing to get on the flight. But who did they leave behind?
Kevin McAllister.
Kevin McAllister's left alone. He's home alone.
Which they say that so many times.
87 times in the film.
My son Kevin's home alone.
And he goes, he's home alone. So he's home alone. And Kevin thinks, because he's 8, Kevin thinks he made his family disappear.
By just wishing them away.
And he's like, hell yeah. Also, whenever they're getting on the plane and the flight attendant's like, you just made it. Take whatever's free. I was like, what? Take whatever's free? No.
There's how many of you? Okay, first of all, I just want to say, how unbelievable is it that an entire extended family wants to go to France on a vacation with each other.
So it seems like maybe some of them live in France. Like,
okay.
So I think perhaps what had happened is there's a section, like Kevin's family, they live in America. They're visiting France. And then another section of them lives in France and is visiting them, and they're all going back together.
Ah, I see.
Because they have, like, an apartment, and one of the girls, when she's talking to the cop, says, "My parents aren't here, they're in Paris." So, I think they're all visiting family, but I think some of them actually live there.
Gotcha. So, okay.
That also, when they're on the flight and they're in first class, and the mom's like, "I feel like I left something." And Uncle, what is his name? Uncle, I already said it earlier. Uncle Fred? Uncle.
I thought it was her husband that she's talking to.
No, well, she is, but behind them. What is his name? Uncle.
Is it Uncle Fred?
Frank.
Uncle Frank.
Uncle Frank is like, "Put the crystal in your purse." And I'm like, "You're rich! You're flying first class to Paris! And you want to steal the crystal champagne glasses?" I think it's funny how they're all, like, so cheap when they're clearly, like, super fucking rich. So, yeah, but then she's like, "Kevin!"
Yeah, oh my god, it's so good. I love Catherine O'Hara so much.
Me too. And then, basically, like, we're switching back and forth between them realizing they forgot Kevin and Kevin
having the time of his life.
Having time, he's jumping on the bed. He's eating cereal. He's watching movies not supposed to. He's eating ice cream. He's what we all wish we could have done as a kid. But then a scary thing happens because two grown men show up and they're robbers, and it's the cop and Marv.
And Marv.
So they look like they're trying to break into the house, but Kevin turns on the basement light and they think someone must still be home. So they leave, and it's really sad because this part actually always makes me cry because I'm an emotional little bitch. But when Kevin's hiding under the bed and he's, like, so scared, I literally almost cry every single time.
I know. It's so sad. I was thinking about that. I'm like, that would be so scary.
It would be so scary. And then that's, like, the moment you realize, like, you do need your parents. Like,
I know. It's so sad.
It's so... so sad. So, anyway, so they get to the airport, and they're trying to, like, call people. They're trying to get a flight, but it's booked because it's Christmas Eve. And so they end up, like, basically they're, like, calling people, and they call the cops to see if they'll go check on him. And this is one of the most frustrating scenes in the entire film for me. Because all they keep saying is, "I have a son and he's home alone and I want you to go check on him." But they never mention that he's 8.
Oh and my god, you're right.
If they said, "He is an 8-year-old boy and we accidentally left him home alone," the cops would definitely be checking on him. Like... they wouldn't be fighting. They wouldn't be freaking out. Also, the cops would be, like, getting him. And, like, the phone lines are down, so they can't call Kevin themselves to make sure he's okay. And none of their neighbors are home, so none of their neighbors can check on him.
Because they're all rich, and they all go places for Christmas, because apparently that's a thing.
I know, which is kind of weird. But... I never understood why they don't say he's 8. If they literally said that, two words, it would be taken care of.
So true.
Because they go to the house.
Be more specific while on the phone with 911.
I know. Listen, 911 operators, they're not the best. You really need help. You really need to help them out. And the fact that, like, so much. It's just so frustrating, like. They're just like, the cop goes, knocks on the door, doesn't answer. And if he knew he was 8, he would be like, "Oh, the kid is probably just scared.
And not coming to the door." But he doesn't know that he's 8.
He thinks he's like a grown-ass kid. So, very annoying. Who was I saying this about? I said the girl is hot as fuck. Oh, the flight attendant in Paris. So, and then basically what happens is they offer her, they say, if you can stay in the airport, we can offer you standby to get back. She says yes.
She's like, obviously I'm going to do that.
Yeah, so the rest of the family leaves and decides that they're just going to fly back on Friday. And which is Christmas. And we're just 2 days away at this point. And so she ends up getting, she does get a flight to, she doesn't. But she ends up encountering these old people. And she offers them, basically she offers to trade seats with them if they'll leave on Friday. And this is also another very frustrating exchange for me in the movie. Because she offers these two old people first class upgrades from their coach seats. This deal, just by doing that, is already worth more than what you paid. One. She offers them a Rolex, a diamond ring, $500, a pocket translator, and her earrings. And all you have to do is stay in Paris for two more days. I was like, why would you not immediately take this deal?
Wild.
It's so dumb. But they end up taking it because she ends up like almost crying because they're about to leave. And they're like, okay, get on. Again, another thing that could never happen in a post 9/11 world.
So true. There are so many things in this movie and also the one we did last week, Die Hard, that so many things happened.
That could literally never happen.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy that that was, like, realistic at one point. And not really that long ago. Like, just 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Especially when you consider that 9/11 was a planned thing. I'm not talking about the terrorists.
We're gonna get our phones tapped out.
our phones are already fucking tapped. This laptop's tapped. The government listens to our podcast. I don't care. It's true. We all know it. 9/11 was an inside job. Listen, hold on. Tangent. If you don't believe me. I also have a tangent
when you're done.
If you don't believe me, the man that owned the World Trade Center took out terrorist insurance, like doubled his insurance specifically for a policy on terrorist attacks 2 weeks before the attack. Okay? And at the exact same time that the World Trade Center was bombed, there was a CIA headquarters a few blocks away that suddenly caught fire in the records room at the exact same time, and every record was burned. But it was an accident. A lot of experts have traced the actual explosions and the fall of the towers. This is getting a little bit more conspiracy. The other ones are, like, proven facts. You can, like, check on yourself. But the towers couldn't have fallen the way that they did if the explosion and the hits came from the outside, only if they had come from the inside.
Mm-hmm.
So all of you can suck my dick. 9/11 was planned. I don't know if it was. Here's the thing. I don't know if it was planned as in, like, the government set it up, completely perpetuated it in order to just go to war just to get oil, just to go to war, which is very possible. Don't put that past them. Or if it was, like, it was going to happen and they found out and they did nothing to stop it. Because they wanted an excuse to go to war, but either way is pretty fucking bad.
Yeah. I just want to say, in reference to me saying they tap their they're going to tap our phones. So my favorite podcast, Last Podcast on the Left, they were talking about how, I think it was either when they were recording their 9/11 episodes or their satanic practices and satanic abuse in the government. So, like, that was about, like, pedophile rings and stuff in the government. Mm-hmm. Every time that Marcus and Henry would get on the phone with each other, they would hear a click. And then every time, like, they would, like, stop talking, they would hear a click.
Because, listen, I don't care. It's true. I'll speak the truth. It's true. And this isn't a conspiracy theory podcast, but that's not a conspiracy theory. That's just the truth. A conspiracy theory that I have is that I don't think museums really have all that stuff. I think they lie. That's a conspiracy theory that I have nothing to back up with, but I just don't believe. Listen, I've been to a lot of museums now. You know what I mean? Especially over here in Europe. I've been to a lot of goddamn museums, and they all have stuff that I'm like, why do you have this? And also,
because they steal them, Allison.
I'm aware, but like, why the fuck does the Dublin Castle have all these exhibits from like Japan? And also, I have books from 2009 that are in worse condition than these books from the 700s. How is this possible? I don't know. I can't prove this conspiracy, but I have a conspiracy that a lot of stuff in museums is fake and that they only put it out there to attract people and that there are only a handful of like real items in museums.
When you said about something about a conspiracy that you believe in, I thought you were going to say that Avril Lavigne was killed and replaced.
That's also not a conspiracy. That's real. 9/11, the 9/11 conspiracy, air quotes, is real, and the Avril Lavigne thing is real. So I'll fight anyone any day. My museum thing, you could probably come up with some points to change my mind, but these other two, you're not going to change my mind on. Also, like, it's like, listen, we all know they're listening. Like, the other day, I saw this on Twitter too, like, Google, you could buy a Google Dot or a Google Home on Amazon for 99 cents. And Liam got a free Google Home because we had Spotify Premium. Like, why are they just giving those away for free? Those are sophisticated pieces of machinery. They don't just hand you an iPhone for free.
Wait, do you guys have Google Home now?
Yeah. I mean, I
no!
haven't had it.
No, I know. Don't do that.
I haven't had it since I've been home because he got it after me. But
that's not okay. It's always on, Allison. How else will it know to answer if it's not always on?
I mean, that's true, but also so is my phone. Listen, the phone, we have a smart TV. The TV's watching us. There's like there's a MacBook in the living room. He has a laptop. I have a laptop. We both have iPhones. Like, everything is watching us. Everything.
But those things are listening to you. Like, I don't know if the other things are, but that thing for sure is.
Listen, my phone is for sure listening to me because I get targeted ads about stuff I never Googled, and I've never been around a Google Home because, for one, the Google Home is not connected to my Spotify, it's only connected to his, and he got it after I left, and I still get targeted ads. So at this point, it's like, maybe it's just time. I don't know. The only way it's ever going to change is if people make laws, like privacy laws regarding it, but the problem is that, like, that you really can't because when we like buy stuff, we sign up for terms and conditions and like somewhere in there, it says they can listen to us. So.
True. There's a whole South Park episode about that.
Listen, it's true. And I don't know. I don't really know what to do about it. It's a complicated issue where it's like, you can't really survive in this world anymore without the internet. But also at the same time, what does the internet cost us? A lot. I mean, you're basically, they're not going to use the information for evil. They're going to use it to make money off of you. And then they'll use that money for evil. But, like, they're using it to sell you stuff. And that's just the way it is.
Home Alone would be so different if they had Google Home.
Yeah, he'd be like, Alexa, call the cops. Alexa, play Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree. Yeah, wow. Sorry, guys. Whew.
Blacked out there for a second.
Blacked out. Oh, where were we? What happened? Oh. So basically, the people come back the next night. The robbers come back the next night. But he's, like, set up this whole elaborate party thing with, like, mannequins and silhouettes. Because he's smarter than I will ever be. And they, again, leave. But then they're, like, at another house on the block, robbing it. And they leave a message on the answering machine Kevin's parents do because they're neighbors. Basically seeing if they're in and if they'll check on Kevin. And they find out that the McAllisters are indeed in Paris and that they're being scammed. So they're like, okay, we have to figure out who's in the house because it's either other robbers or it's someone, like, is tricking us. And they end up finding out it's Kevin. What's happening? I hear so much noise. Are you okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, yeah, it turns out, like, they find out it's Kevin. When he's coming back from the grocery store, basically.
He's so cute.
He is. Literally, I was like, this kid's so smart. Like, I would not be able to do this. Also, when he's buying the toothbrush, and we learned earlier in this movie about this guy, this, like, old man, who supposedly murdered his family with a snow shovel.
It happens.
It happens. We all got those legends. And basically, he runs into him at this store when he's trying to buy a toothbrush. And I always wonder, I'm like, why doesn't this old man just say hello? Like, he had so long to be like, are you okay? Where are your parents? But instead, he just
and, like, stares. Isn't he, like, looking after him?
Yeah, he is. And he ends up just, like, staring at him for so long. And I was like, well, I'd be fucking scared, too.
True.
Also, I again had a sad moment where he's sad without his parents. Because he ends up, like, you know, basically the robbers come back and he hears them later. Oh, wait, no, doesn't he end up going to the store? That girl is like, where are your parents? He's like, haha, my parents are in the car. And he ends up, like, learning to do laundry and stuff. He's growing up, you know? He's adjusting.
He is. And, you know, it's so much sweeter because everyone was always like, we have to do everything for you, Kevin. You can't do anything by yourself.
Yeah.
But so now he has really to do sweet. Things by himself.
And it is really sweet. He's honestly doing a really good job. Better than I would do at that age, for sure. I would have not done as well as he did. But he is really sad. He misses his parents. It's really depressing. And then at the same time, his mom ends up getting to Scranton, Pennsylvania, which is the town in which The Office would later be set.
So true.
And so they go to Scranton and she needs to get to Chicago, but she can't because there's no flights. And this man who is the polka king of the Midwest says that they'll give her a ride. Him and his polka band will give her a ride because it's on the way to Milwaukee where they're headed. So she agrees. At the same time, the robbers figure out it's Kevin who lives in the house, and he ends up realizing that they're going to come back that night and rob him, and they know he's home alone. So he ends up going out and goes to a church. I'm not sure why he's wasting his time when he has precious little time to set up these traps. But he goes to a church, sees the old man that supposedly killed his wife and daughter and stuff with a shovel. Or his family with a shovel. They end up having a good talk. He learns
we're not,
not
so
to be
different,
afraid.
You and I.
We're not so different, you and I. They end up becoming pals, and Kevin convinces him to give a call to his son and repair their relationship, because that's the reason his son is not around anymore, is because they had a big fight.
Yep.
So they end up becoming pals, and then they play the song, like, the memory song, the Christmas song. It's like, I don't want to sing it because I'm embarrassed, but you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Okay, it's like, deep within my memory. That song? They play that so much, and that makes me cry almost every time. I really like it. So he spends a weird amount of time at that church. He goes home. He sets up all the classic Kevin traps that we all know and love from this movie. He makes some mac and cheese that looks so damn good. I really miss Kraft mac and cheese. I never thought I would miss Kraft mac and cheese so much. but I miss it so much. that I really focused on that because I miss it so much. And they end up coming and he can't eat his mac and cheese. He just leaves it there. And he gets his, like, BB gun, and they try to, like, come into the door, and he shoots, what's the other guy's name? Joe Pesci's character.
Marv and...
I know.
Joe I have Pesci. It pulled up.
Harry.
Harry, yeah.
So he shoots Harry in the leg, and... Then Marv sticks his head in, and he shoots Marv in the face. I want to say he could have blinded Marv and would have taken one of them out right then. So then it's just chaos, right? Like,
yeah,
they try to break in, but he's got all these traps. There's tar. There's a nail in the foot. There, which by the way, A Quiet Place stole from this movie.
I haven't seen A Quiet Place yet.
So good. You need to watch it.
Oh, guys, how many of you want us to do A Quiet Place but ASMR? Let us know.
All right. That's definitely a Patreon one. I'm not releasing my first time doing ASMR on this free channel for anyone. No. I'm voting against it. So they step on Christmas ornaments. He doesn't have shoes. He practically gets brained by a fucking iron, which I was like, he could have fucking died. yeah. Harry gets his head burned severely by a blowtorch. And his hand burned by a red hot handle. He slips in the ice. He gets feathered. He gets glued and feathered. And then Kevin hits him in the face with paint cans. All kinds of things. So essentially I like this line where Kevin says, "Are you done, or are you thirsty for more?"
Oh my god, he delivers it so well, too.
He's so cute. So then Kevin calls the police to his neighbor's house. I'm assuming Kevin doesn't tell the police that he's alone because he doesn't want to get, like, put in foster care or something.
Yeah, I'm assuming because he doesn't want his mom to get in trouble or anything.
Yeah, well, he thinks his parents are, like, gone, right? So he's probably like, if I tell someone, I'm going to have to go live with a new family. And he doesn't want a new family. That was his whole wish. So anyway, he calls the police to his neighbor's house and then does this sick zip line over there.
Oh my god, it's so cool.
He zip lines. He gets inside the house, but unfortunately the thieves do kind of outsmart him because they don't go through the entrance. They don't go to the same entrance as Kevin. They go through a different entrance, catch him, put him up on this, like, hook, and they're getting ready to, like, hurt him. Which I want to say, at the beginning of this, these robbers were, like, such cat burglars, and they were really kind of nice to children. Like, if you think about it, like, when they talk to the twins... They're nice when Joe Pesci's pretending to be the cop.
Yeah.
And then later when they almost hit him with their car, they're nice to him.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But they literally go from being, like, kind of nice cat burglars to, like, I'm about to murder this fucking kid.
It's wild. They just descend into madness.
Literally. And then a snow shovel guy, old man, shows up. Hits them both with snow shovel. The only thing in this entire goddamn movie that knocks them out, despite the fact that they've been hit with an iron, paint cans. They've fallen on the floor multiple times. Outside, concrete. This is what knocks him out. This feeble old man and his snow shovel. And Kevin is saved. The police show up, you know, after like 20 fucking minutes. After they said, hey, my house is being robbed. The police take their sweet goddamn time showing up. And the wet bandits are nabbed.
It's a pretty good ending.
And then Kevin wishes for his mom to show back up, or his family to show back up. He wakes up on Christmas, no one's there, and he's really sad, but then his mom does show up. And then his whole family shows up, because his mom's a dumbass. It took her 2 days on a 72-hour journey or whatever. 72 hours of being awake, 48 hours worth of journey, maybe more. And she got there the exact same time as the rest of the family.
Yeah.
He just took the flight.
That would suck so much.
I know. But I guess, how could you, like, not blame yourself if you didn't try?
True. You could even be there, like, a second earlier.
Yeah. And then they're all like, what did you do, Kevin? And he's like, oh, you know, just hung around. And everybody laughs like they're in on the joke. Even though there's no possible way they could be in on the joke. Because none of them were there. And then he ends up seeing the old guy who did reunite with his son. And it's really sweet.
Yes.
The end. Also, I want to say sometimes the last smile he gives, sometimes the smiles Kevin gives are so scary. They look evil.
Have you seen The Good Son?
No.
It's Macaulay Culkin and Elijah Wood as kids. And Macaulay Culkin plays a psychopathic kid who's trying to murder his cousin Elijah Wood.
I believe this.
It's very good.
Macaulay Culkin, he's really cute in this movie, but there are some times where I'm like, that's kind of scary. Man, what a movie this is.
It is. It is such a movie.
One time on Twitter, I tweeted that the guys that were the robbers, so Joe Pesci and Daniel Stern, I said that they were gay lovers in real life, and a lot of people believed me. And that was a lie. I just made that up.
Flick Chicks exclusive. She made it up.
I made it up. It was a lie. So if you think that they were gay lovers, I don't know how you thought that, because that's Joe Pesci. And also, I just made it up because I thought that the robbers had good sexual chemistry.
They do.
I know. That's why I made it up. And I guess that's why so many people believe me, too. Probably because they were like, I could see it. But it wasn't true. I lied. Sometimes I just do that on the internet. I'll just be like, here's a blatant lie, and people will be like, wow, so true. Even in real life, I do that sometimes. I say it because I think, how no one would ever believe this, but I guess I say it convincingly enough.
You say it with so much conviction that, like,
that people are like, okay, there's no way she's not telling the truth. But the truth is, I'm lying. I try to remember to tell people most of the time. I'm like, hey, by the way, that thing I said, don't go tell anybody that, because that wasn't true and you're going to look really fucking stupid. But sometimes I don't. Sometimes I forget.
Oh, and my goodness.
That means there's probably people out there just living with facts that I gave them that were made up. And maybe they've told people. And this is how fake news gets spread. Because of bitches like me. Woo! Well, Jane, you have anything else to say about this movie?
I don't. What would you give it?
Oh, I mean, as a Christmas movie, I think a 10 out of 10.
I agree. As a Christmas movie, 10 out of 10.
It's a great movie. It's a fun holiday watch, and I never get tired of it.
I know. I really
like
it.
We asked in the last one what your favorite Christmas movie is, but what's your least favorite Christmas movie? Don't say Elf.
I don't know. I'm not the biggest fan of Jack Frost, I guess.
Like the claymation ones?
No, the Jack Frost, as in, that's what it's called, isn't it? With Michael Keaton as a snowman.
Oh, I don't think I've ever even seen those.
It's not, I mean, I don't think it's great. What about
you? My least favorite is A Christmas Story.
You don't like A Christmas Story? I love A Christmas Story.
Why? The consumerist propaganda in that film is out of this world. And there's no point. Nothing happens. I think I hate it because my family, every Christmas, which, like, kind of sad, is my first Christmas without them, but also kind of glad I'm going to miss this. TBS does a 24-hour marathon of A Christmas Story every Christmas, and my family puts it on for the entire time we're there. So no. I just get to watch A Christmas Story, like, 3.5 times.
Oh, yes. No.
And I don't even like it. I don't even like the movie. So it's like, this is fucking exhausting. I also think it has no plot. Like, I don't even know what the plot is. Ungrateful child wants a BB gun. The end. He gets it. The end. It's literally, I literally hate it so much.
Do you have a review for me?
I do. This one also had really, I say also, we just recorded Die Hard. This one has really great reviews as well. Not a lot of people hate this movie, but someone's gotta hate it, right? So I narrowed it down to 1-star reviews yet again. And this is a 1 out of 10. It was written in 2010. It's called Way Too Violent. This got by with a PG. A heavily dysfunctional family are going away for Christmas holidays. They accidentally leave 8-year-old Kevin, the annoying Macaulay Culkin, home alone. Oh. Other than doing what a normal kid would do, go to a neighbor or call the police, there are no neighbors and the phones don't work. He decides to stay at home all alone. Two burglars, Joe Pesci and Daniel Stern, both of who deserve better, try to break in. Culkin manages to single-handedly set up elaborate booby traps, which they spelled Bobby traps, to stop them. Whenever I think about that, I always think about, like, King of the Hill. Bobby traps. Bobby? Oh, man. What a violent, sick piece of garbage. I caught this in a theater in 1990. Right when it came out. I saw it after a week at work and expected a mindless, fun PG movie. I was horrified by what I got. Oh, for starters, I was like, horrified? Jeez, well, this is a kid's movie. For starters, the story was impossible. Leaving behind an 8-year-old kid by mistake? Come on. Also, the whole family is heavily dysfunctional and not at all funny. Culkin manages to set up elaborate traps and stuff that no 8-year-old could ever do. When Pesci and Stern show up, the movie goes from stupid and unbelievable to extremely violent. These poor guys get repeatedly burnt and hit on the head and face again and again, and it's all played for laughs. They're literally burglars who are trying to break into this house.
Feeling bad for
an 8-year-old who's home. They know there's an 8-year-old home alone whose family clearly forgot him, and they're trying to take advantage of it and break in. And you're mad because he defends himself? I was sickened by the level of violence in this film. How did this get a PG rating? Also, violence against people is not funny. It got to the point that I was rooting for the burglars. Aside from all this, it just simply isn't funny. Sick, stupid, and unbelievable, yes, but not funny. The acting is as bad as you'd expect. Culkin is annoying from the start. Not cute at all. You want the little brat to get it badly.
What?
I know. This person has problems. Stern and Pesci do what they can with nothing roles. Still, I realize I'm not the audience for this. In the theater, I saw it was full of families with their kids. During the violence, all the adults sat there horrified, while all the little kids were screaming, literally with laughter. A few parents dragged their kids out of there. I wish I had joined them. This was inexplicably a huge hit and led to the thankfully brief career of Culkin. Avoid this like the plague, and definitely do not let small kids see it. A one.
What?
She literally said, I wanted that brat to get it badly. That 8-year-old child.
I wanted to get it by these grown men.
I wanted those grown men to just fucking bite his fingers off. Jesus Christ, lady. You didn't like, what? Not liking the movie is one thing. Literally wanting a child to get harmed.
Woof.
I know. Honestly, the reviews for these movies, I've got to start doing this more, narrowing down to 1-star reviews and looking. All right.
Follow us on social media.
Yes, and on Patreon. We're recording this kind of early, so I'm not sure what we're going to do. Will it be on Christmas?
Yes, Wednesday.
Christmas episode.
I wonder what
Maybe we'll do Elf.
Fine.
A divisive Christmas episode.
Ooh, I love it. Ooh.
Ooh, we fight on air on Christmas. But Merry Christmas, everyone.
Yes, I hope you are very happy. And
maybe with some of your Christmas money, you can donate to our Patreon.
Yeah, you guys.
Listen, do it for me. I'm going to be alone for Christmas, so do it for me.
That's so sad. I'm sorry.
I know. I'm, like, considering buying, like, a microwavable meal that's, like, Christmas dinner and eating it in my room.
I feel like, for the bit, you should.
I mean, we can call it a bit, but it's going to be my life. And I'm going to do it unironically. I really just want good mac and cheese, as you can probably tell by the amount of times I talked about that Kraft mac and cheese in this movie. I really want good mac and cheese, and it just doesn't exist here, and it's really sad. By the way, guys, Europe, not the mac and cheese place. That is America. It's really sad. Anytime I've ever had mac and cheese here, I've been like, so this is it, huh? Most of the time, it's just like buttered noodles that they put shredded cheese on top and melted.
That sucks so much. Oh my god.
Literally, how I'm like, it's not even that hard to make mac and cheese. Why? Oh, well.
Cheese, butter, milk, mix that up, noodles.
Literally, also, you literally just make a sauce. Like, I know how to do it. Also, if anyone wants to send me boxes of Kraft mac and cheese, they'll probably get here right as I'm about to leave. It'll cost you $60, and it will get here right as I'm about to leave. Anyway, Merry Christmas.
All right, guys. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Bye.